Penguin Random House Audio presents Parcells, A Football Life by Bill Parcells and Nuno D'Amasio. Read for you by Jason Culp. Chapter 1. Tucked between two volcanic areas in southwestern Italy, the coastal city of Naples, at the turn of the 20th century, was among the poorest regions in Europe. Baldassare Naclerio was 13 when his family moved from Naples to New York City in 1900, part of a tidal wave of Italian immigrants flooding the United States in search of economic opportunity. Like many others embracing assimilation, Baldassare Americanized his first name, becoming Harold. The Naclerios lived in the Upper Manhattan neighborhood of Harlem, which wouldn't become an African-American enclave for several more decades. Within months of his arrival, Harold used his woodworking skills to find employment as a cabinet maker. Several years later, he met Julie Ferrioli, another native of Naples. The two teenagers fell in love, married, and moved to tiny Woodridge, New Jersey, to raise a family. Perched atop a hill, their house was weather-beaten yet cozy, with a small yard and garden that Harold kept immaculate. Harold found a full-time job with the American Bell Telephone Company. He supplemented the family income with part-time employment as a mechanic and barber, while applying woodworking and masonry skills on his home. By age 19, Julie Naclerio had a brood of three, which would grow to five and include an energetic, outspoken girl named Ida. After graduating from high school, Ida decided against attending college and landed a job at Lever Brothers, a Britain-based soap manufacturer with subsidiaries in several countries. Of Ida's $5 weekly salary, she contributed $3 to her parents for expenses. Like most women of her generation, her best hopes lay in marrying the right man. On August 10, 1913, Charles O'Shea was born to an Irish couple in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Within a few years, the boy's father died in his sleep, and his mother succumbed to the influenza epidemic of 1918, one of the deadliest in history. The pandemic killed about 50 million people, wiping out one-fourth of America's population. Orphaned at age five, Charles was adopted by his aunt, Esther St. George. When she married a man whose surname was Parcells, her nephew also took the last name. After purchasing two rooming houses on a downtown block, the family moved to Hackensack, New Jersey. Lucinda Whiting, a black cook and maid at the establishment, helped raise Esther's quiet nephew, doting on him so much that he came to view her as a mother. Charles grew up to be a 6'1", wiry teenager with blazing speed, ramrod posture, and an incongruous nickname, Chubby. During the late 1920s, Chubby's athleticism and passion led him to become a three-sport phenomenon at Hackensack High. Also academically inclined, Charles was pursued by several top colleges, and the 195-pounder accepted a football scholarship from Georgetown University, where he would also run track and play basketball. For most of his college football career, Charles was coached by Jack Haggerty, who had once played for the New York Giants, helping them capture the 1927 NFL title. At Georgetown, Haggerty discarded the Notre Dame box, a single-wing offense that had flourished during the 1920s under Newt Rockne, the fighting Irish legend, in which the running backs lined up in a box formation. Instead, Haggerty installed the single-wing offense used by the Giants, based on a long snap and four backs, tailback, fullback, quarterback, blocking back, and wingback. The line was unbalanced. Two players lined up on one side of the center and four on the other. The formation, which resembled a wing, emphasized chicanery more than power. Playing in this Giants-style offense, Charles Parcells became one of the top halfbacks in the East. He was also versatile enough to line up at quarterback and to make point-after kicks. When Charles Parcells graduated in 1935, he entered Georgetown's law school, where he earned his Juris Doctor before taking a job as an agent for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. On returning to Hackensack, he met Ida Naclerio in nearby Woodridge. Ida's diminutive size belied her forceful nature. Often heard before being seen, the boisterous Italian woman provided a dramatic counterpoint to the tall, reserved Irishman. Where Ida turned the smallest issues into melodrama, Charles was quick to shrug and smile. The soft-spoken G-man was smitten, and after an ardent courtship, he persuaded Ida to marry him. The couple moved to Hackensack, where Ida loudly worried about her husband's safety as a law enforcement officer. Those concerns were only heightened by the birth of their first child. Duane Charles Parcells arrived at Englewood Hospital in New Jersey on August 22, 1941. Astrological signs for the newborn indicated that he would be ambitious, autocratic, caring, excitable, generous, proud, strong-willed, and destined for big things. From Napoleon to Barack Obama, Leos have tended to be natural leaders, energetic taskmasters to whom others gravitate for guidance. Those born between August 15th and August 22nd are considered particularly hot-headed and impatient. Fond of the spotlight, they turn sullen when upstaged. Complex and volatile, Leos can be egomaniacal one moment and grounded the next, cocksure yet thin-skinned. Despite being detail-oriented, they are better at organizing the lives of others than their own. Duane Bill Parcells' earliest memory places him in the back seat of the family car on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. His younger brother Don is crying as their father barrels through the turnpike's dark tunnels, but three-year-old Duane feels only excitement. Their father's FBI job has taken the family to Des Moines, Iowa, then Joliet, Illinois, which means occasional road trips east, like this one, to see relatives. In time, Charles will capitulate to Ida's badgering and return to New Jersey, taking a job at the United States Rubber Company as Director of Industrial Relations, commuting to the company's office in Midtown Manhattan. Charles and Ida decided to settle in suburban Hasbrook Heights, slightly north of Woodridge and south of Hackensack. Charles paid $8,000 for a gray-and-white single-story house on Columbus Avenue, where he converted the attic into a bedroom for Duane and Don. Only a few blocks away, in the quiet, tree-lined neighborhood, Frank Sinatra lived with his wife Nancy and their newborn girl. Singing for the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra, the Hoboken native had established himself as one of America's most popular vocalists. The white exterior of Sinatra's seven-room clapboard home was often smeared with red lipsticked messages from infatuated girls. On sunny days, Sinatra and his wife walked their baby stroller past Charles Parcells' new home. When Duane turned five, Charles bought him a Rawlings baseball mitt and a Louisville slugger, knowing that his boy didn't need to go far to use them. Across the street from their home sat a one-acre lot dubbed Army Field, just a few miles from the swamplands that would become the home of Giant Stadium. "Don't confuse it with anything like a park," Parcells says. "There were just patches of grass out there." But for Duane and his pals, the lot was a field of dreams where they gathered after school. Although most players were older than Duane, the five-year-old joined in with them right away. His brother Don, 21 months younger, got into the action several years later for a similarly early start. Blacks were a rarity in Hasbrook Heights, an otherwise diverse community. Italian Americans composed the largest ethnic group, along with families from Poland and Ireland. At a time of social tension among those groups, Army Field promoted camaraderie. Duane's interactions with blacks were limited to visits with his great-aunt in Hackensack. Most of her rooming house employees were African-American and had worked there for decades. Charles taught Duane to treat them like family. Lucinda Whiting, who had helped raise Charles, was paid the same deference as Esther Parcells herself. Despite being fond of Lucinda, Ida, who hardly knew any blacks while growing up, didn't quite share.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?